Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Nareit REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and today we're taking a look at the cold storage warehouse sector with Matt Wolosek, Associate Director of Industrial and Logistics Research at CBRE. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm happy to be with you today.
So let's start by talking about how cold storage fits within the broader context of industrial storage, and maybe if you could explain the various segments that make up the cold storage sector.
Sure. So cold storage represents a very small portion of the overall industrial inventory. So about 1 to 3% of U.S. industrial stock is considered cold storage warehousing. The various segments include food service providers, think U.S. Foods or Sysco or Gordon Food Service. These facilities are typically a combination of dry, cooler, and freezer space in their warehouses. Grocery and food service companies typically own first-generation facilities, whereas the second-generation space is often investor-owned. Next, you've got public refrigerated warehouses, which are typically owner-occupied and 100% refrigerated, or a combination of cooler and freezer. Then there are dedicated refrigerated warehouses that are often connected to processing facilities and highly customized for the type and quantity of food production. So those are the main food groups, so to speak.
And we're hearing quite a lot about cold storage right now. So where is the demand really coming from?
Any place where people eat food, really. But, you know, the real demand is coming from the densely populated metros, such as LA, of course, the Northeast region, so Lehigh Valley up to New York, New Jersey, Seattle, Chicago, but also the metros with significant populations, such as South Florida, so Miami-Dade and Broward County, Atlanta, and Dallas.
And can you talk a bit about the ownership profile of the industry and why the market looks so fragmented, and also really touch upon the main players that you're seeing right now?
Sure. So it's fragmented mainly because of the highly specialized nature of the business. Only a handful of companies have expertise in handling food in a safe and efficient way. The main players include Lineage Logistics, Americold, and United States Cold Storage, with about 15 others that have a marginal percentage of the market. These companies provide services such as blast freezing, product retrieval, case picking, storage inspection, export and import services, among others. I think in order to succeed, you do need to scale in this industry, and there has been a lot of M&A activity in the market as of late, and I suspect this is because these top public refrigerated warehouse companies have scaled their operations in a way that gives them a clear advantage. And so I expect there to be some further fragmentation and perhaps some consolidation in the future.
And what would you say are some of the unique challenges in the cold storage segment that could limit supply?
Yeah, the number one that I'm hearing is labor being the top challenge when talking about constructing this type of facility. You know, although labor is an issue for the wider industrial sector, so it's not truly a unique challenge. However, it's especially acute for cold storage, given the need for special contractors that understand the craftsmanship that goes into constructing a cold storage building. In addition to that, the cost of materials are quite high. Expensive machinery goes into these buildings. So that also poses a challenge if the cost of materials go up in the future.
Right. And you mentioned markets like LA and the East Coast. Are those the geographic markets that you expect to see the most growth in cold storage assets?
Yes. I think those are the areas where there's significant product already. And so I think the infrastructure's there. And so I think we'll continue to see growth in the top tier metro areas that I had mentioned. But I think we'll also see some growth in the smaller cities as well, ones that are experiencing huge population growth, especially with regard to younger populations, such as Denver and Austin. So I think these areas will also see growth in cold storage.
And would you say that cold storage is a field that's likely to see further innovation, and what sorts of trends could we see coming along?
Yes, absolutely. We are already seeing large grocery chains innovate and partner with technology platforms to improve their online presence. For example, Kroger has teamed up with Ocado, an online grocer from the UK that actually uses robots in their warehouses to fulfill grocery orders. So together, Kroger and Ocado are building out a high-tech cold storage network with at least 20 sites around the U.S. planned, and they're currently underway or have completed three buildings already in the U.S. So I think we'll continue to see this, especially as consumer behavior shifts towards online grocery shopping.
Now, you mentioned that Americold is a big player in this sector, and I just wanted to ask you about the asset class in general, how investors are receiving it. What sort of interest are they showing?
Well, at the moment, there's a lot of interest, actually, because of the specialized nature of the business and with all these demand drivers, prompting more supply to come down the tracks. I think we'll see a lot of interest from investors, but they are cautious because it's a very, as I mentioned, very specialized asset type, and so I think they will need to partner with the right people to guide them through that process.
Okay, great. Matthew, thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. It was great chatting with you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you want more information on REITs, be sure to visit REIT.com.